There was a recent headline in the Timbercreek newspaper by journalist David Colburn. It was, Togo closure would be devastating. Advocates say negative impact will be far-reaching. He's writing about the announcement recently from the governor's office that two Department of Correction facilities would be closing due to economics. One of those is the Minnesota Correctional Facility Togo, sometimes known as Thistledew. Julie Sandstead is a DFL representative from Hibbing, and she is back with us on KEXE, KBXE. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So first, tell us what you know about this place, this correctional facility in Togo. It's a minimum security facility, but what is special about it? What happens there?
So it is a minimum security facility. It's kind of known as a voluntary boot camp program. They are one of two facilities that offer something called a CIP program, Challenge Incarceration Program. These are for people who, you know, have offended. They typically are struggling with chemical or alcohol dependency, and their violations are kind of a result of that. These two programs are probably one of the Department of Corrections' greatest success stories, which is why I am so highly opposed to changing them or moving them or relocating them. What they do is, you know, inmates will serve a sentence or a term. There's a lot of physical work involved. But along with that is a very, very intensive strategic programming that is used to help them address the issues in their life. And what we're seeing is just extremely low recidivism rates for people who go through this program. So it's financially a huge benefit to the state of Minnesota to keep these programs intact and have people go through them, because then most of the time, you know, we don't see them again. It's not an additional cost on taxpayers' backs. And most importantly, it's life-saving and life-changing for the people who are going through the program.
So this recidivism rate, do you monitor them after for a few years when they leave?
They are monitored for quite a while. And oftentimes in other programming within the DOC, you know, we see a 60, 70, 80% recidivism rate. And in the CIP program, we're usually 20% or less. So it is quite remarkable.
Let's talk about what this means to the region in terms of the people who work there. I've seen the number in media reports that 48 jobs will be eliminated. And I think if you don't live in outside of a metro area, that doesn't seem like a huge number. But what does that mean, do you think?
Well, first of all, that is not an accurate number. 48 was the number that I think the administration or DOC put out initially. And the truth of the matter is, in Togo, we're at 60 jobs or more. Willow River, I think, is a little bit more than that, 65 to 70.
Oh. Are you there?
It's actually 130 jobs or more. And that doesn't mean that they're all full-time jobs. It might be 48 full-time jobs, but there's more than that that, you know, are being impacted. And what does this mean? These are great-paying jobs. Again, that are making, saving lives and making differences in the people's lives. So that just, you can't put a price tag on that. But those, again, are good paying jobs with benefits. And the people who work there, excuse me, are also so intertwined in the fiber of rural communities. The people that work up there are also your volunteer firefighters. They are your first responders. They are the people that sit on your school boards. They are the people who, you know, purchase food at the little mom-and-pop grocery store and help keep that business owner afloat. It's their children that go to the very, very rural daycares and help with those small business owners. And so when you take these jobs away and offer to relocate a person, which we should, you know, talk about also for Togo, you're not just taking a job away. You're really weakening the underlying fabric of these rural communities.
We're talking with Representative Julie Sandstead. She is from Hibbing. She's a DFLer, and Togo is within her district. We're talking about the announcement of the closing of two of Minnesota's correctional facilities. Julie, how did you hear about this? How did this happen?
Unfortunately, I heard about this via a text from a constituent at 7:30 in the morning Monday, just over 2 weeks ago. So I was very disappointed. I didn't have any foreknowledge of this. It wasn't something that was brought up or shared or discussed. There was no option to talk about what other plans, you know, could take place or what other options may be something that we could look at. And then within a couple hours of that, I heard from the governor's administration, and then there was a conference call announcing that basically the decision had been made and this was going to be the case or happen. And I guess, you know, anybody who knows me knows that that did not go over real well.
Hmm. So where will the other kids go? And was this one made decision based on just simply the fact of its size and its location?
So ultimately, this is a financial decision for the state of Minnesota. With COVID, the state of Minnesota is going to be facing a deficit come next biennium or at the end of this year and going into the next biennium. And knowing that the state is already having to make adjustments. And so this is part of those adjustments in preparation for what is going to have to happen. Now, during our many special sessions in the legislature, we had attempted to pass a bonding bill, and we had attempted to pass a supplemental budget bill. Unknowing, I think, to all of the House members, in that supplemental budget bill, there was an item that was specifically for Department of Corrections. And there's some controversy around this, but apparently we were supposed to have known, and I know that we did not. If that supplemental budget bill did not pass, then this was going to be a result. And so, as everybody knows, we still have not passed a supplemental budget bill, and we still have not passed a bonding bill. And there is a big project for Togo in the bonding bill as well. And so as we think about moving forward and what we need to do, the legislature needs to pass a bonding bill, and we need to pass a supplemental budget bill in order to keep programs like this going and to keep the doors at Togo open. And so really, you know, we're going to have a rally. We're doing a lot of talking about this. And I'm not one who likes to really get into partisan politics, but this is really a case where Republicans have obstructed the process of passing a supplemental budget bill and passing a bonding bill over the emergency powers that the governor has. And unfortunately, this is how it plays out. It will, play out on the backs of everyday Minnesotans and small communities, greater Minnesota communities, and it will impact everybody. But unfortunately, it's impacting my district first, and that's really problematic. I mean, whether you're Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter. It's really problematic. We need these great people in our communities. We need this program to stay open. We need, part of its success story, quite frankly, is the location. So even though the department will say we're going to move it to Moose Lake and we're not closing the program, we're relocating, I don't think it's going to have the same success rate. Part of the recidivism rate being so low is because people truly have a time to heal and quiet their lives when they're in that serene setting and take the time to just kind of put things back in place for themselves where they're not able to do that. And I've talked to several inmates over the course of my time in the legislature when I've gone up there for visits who have said the very same thing. They've gone through different programs 6, 7, 8 times, and it isn't until they get up there that they really feel they have just the time to quiet, be still, find out, you know, what they need to do. And then up in Togo, they've done such outstanding work in putting kind of a safety plan together, making sure that the inmates have every single tool they need to reintegrate into society seamlessly.
How are the employees, the union, responding to this? How are you working with them?
So there's a couple different representatives that are working with me. We're working in a coordinated effort. There's been a tremendous, and I have to just a shout out to everybody who has written a letter, made a phone call. Everybody needs to be assured these are being received, and they're being. I am forwarding every single one on to the governor's office and to the commissioner of the DOC, Commissioner Schnell. And how are they responding? Well, they're concerned. They're heartbroken. They are deeply disappointed. They, you know, really don't want to see this happen. And they've been articulate and respectful, and they've given such, you know, good substance to why this should not happen. This really should not happen. This is a penny-wise, pound-foolish kind of decision.
You mentioned a rally. It is Monday at 4:30 at the Nashwalk Pavilion. You'll be there, and it's called Rally for the Range for MCF Togo. Who else will be there with you, and who would you like to show up?
I would like as many people who want to show up to show up. Senator Tomasoni will be there. I will be there. There may be another representative, Representative Sundin. I'm not sure. And RAMS is the organization putting this on. So lots of area, range area, local leaders, mayors, county commissioners, former employees, you know, of the Togo facility, community members. I think we're going to see a very broad group of people there, all with a very common interest, you know, protecting our communities, protecting our jobs, and just trying to maintain the quality of life that we have here on the Iron Range. So it'll be 4:30 at the pavilion in Nashwalk over by the RV park, just a couple miles north of the main street off of 65 there. And I hope everybody can come.
There will be another special session in September. Do you have hope for that supplemental budget?
I do.
Okay.
I do, actually. And I just am not done. I mean, I just feel like there is still work that can be done and should be done. Just getting a call, you know, randomly on a Monday morning doesn't seem like we've really gone through a thorough investigatory process in looking at options. And so I don't know if it will happen before special session. I am hopeful, but we are going to be having some hearings in the House specifically about this closure or proposed closure. The Speaker of the House, Melissa Hortman, and I are having a conversation with the warden up in Togo tomorrow morning to really talk about some different just different questions, different scenarios, finances perhaps. She'll get a little bit more of an understanding of the facility and the programming that they're running there. And then I think we really need to, you know, go before committees and have it on record exactly what the cost is, what the options are. Has COVID money been, I know that we were told CARES money, COVID money was basically examined to whether we could use it or not. And again, we just really need that laid out clearly and whatever. But we do still have the option. The very first option is to go and get these bills passed. So I really want to encourage people, keep writing your letters, but also talk to your legislators on both sides of the aisle and urge Republicans to pass these bills, because ultimately good things like this don't fall in a bucket of a political party. It's not a gain for one or a loss for another. It impacts everybody in a community. And the supplemental budget bill is going to be needed for a multitude of reasons, Togo just being one of them.
Well,
the other thing I do want to mention about Togo, we didn't circle back, but more than ever, I think it's so important that we keep these jobs, because while on the news you may have seen or heard that employees that are potentially losing their jobs will be offered, you know, a position within another facility, there is bargaining language that restricts them from being transferred outside a 35-mile radius of where they work currently. Togo is 130 miles, basically, from any other facility. So those workers have nowhere to transfer. So, and there's been nothing that has made it clear to me that there would be some kind of an exception or some option for them. So those jobs would just be gone. There wouldn't be transfer rights for the people impacted in my district, which is one more reason of why we cannot lose these jobs.
It's Minnesota Representative Julie Sandstead of Hibbing, a DFLer. She represents Minnesota House District 6A. She will be, along with Senator Tomasoni, at the rally for the range for Minnesota Correctional Facility in Togo this Monday, August 24th. It's at 4:30 at the Nashwalk Pavilion. Thanks so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too.